Hey guys, what you're about to listen to or watch is a section of a much longer podcast that me and my friend Rob did for the Babbling Pastor podcast. If you're interested in the sections before this, check out the description below. And if you're interested in the longer form video, it will be available for patrons before it's available here on YouTube. Also, you can check that in the link below. I mean, there's no, yeah. I don't think it's hands above every other way you do it.
I mean, there are a lot of churches, to be fair. There are a lot of churches who aren't, like you were kind of alluding to, that aren't in the spot that we were in, you know, that, you know, maybe it's small enough that you just legitimately, like, you have a hard enough time finding qualified men to be elders, let alone, you know.
And there's a lot of churches in that position. Yes.
And so I like first just recognizing that, like, this isn't, oh, if you're not doing this, then, you know, like, by any stretch of the imagination, because not everyone has the opportunity to do, is blessed in the same way. However, I want to also add that, like, there's even a, you know, before we started recording this, I brought up just super briefly the two names, Moses and Joshua, in this kind of example of leadership transfer. And you see, in that instance, you see the most glaringly obvious example in all of the scriptures is Jesus and his disciples, as they're walking with him and eating with him and all the things, you know, and yet there's something that needs to be said in the midst of that, even like even in my situation, excuse me, that I wouldn't have changed, period. Even in a situation where everything seems to be lined up and the human, interaction, the human role in it is being done biblically and correctly. There is always, so in Joshua chapter 3, verse 7, it says, then Yahweh said to Joshua, this day I will begin to magnify you in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that just as I've been with Moses, I will be with you. So regardless of how well Moses did, regardless of how eager and humble Joshua was under Moses, it was actually God at the end of the day who worked it out so that Joshua would be successful in what God called Joshua to do there. And that's something that I think not just really important, but like a must. Like, we must understand that no matter the, and I think that this helps in a couple of different ways. No matter the situation of a church, if you're not where we were, and to be fair, this church wasn't there for like 50 years of its existence.
That's a great time. Yeah. It takes time. Like, time. Like, real time. Yeah.
And so if you're not right now where we were then, and you just don't have the same luxuries or blessings from God, God is still pretty big. Okay. And like all of this can still work out. And maybe you hear this and just understand, like, it begins with you. It begins by you being convicted that you need to do two things. One, invest in those who are younger than you, maybe just younger than you in the faith or younger than you, physically, so that you may have been through more things than them and you can speak into those things lovingly and humbly. And then on the other end of that, the second thing that you need to do is ensure that you're intentionally looking upward to, like, seek out other people, who are older and wiser than you and latch on. Like, this is one instance when being a leech is not a bad thing. Okay. So, I would just suggest both of those things. And then on the other end of that, let's say that you are in a position, kind of like I was blessed to be in, one of the struggles, that will find you is that you'll look back on that human interaction, the human part of all of that, and wonder sometimes, depending on what's going on in your ministry, you'll wonder, man, was God in this at all? Because right now, this sucks. Like right now, I don't feel qualified to do this. I don't feel able to do this. There's no way I can pull this off. Jeff was wrong. You know what I mean? Like there are legitimate times where that's going to come up. And you have to understand like this Joshua 3:7 thing that look, at the end of the day, however that vote went, it wasn't because chiefly of what Jeff did or of what I did or of anything I wrote or any of that. At the end of the day, it was because God wanted that to happen. And so it happened. And so you're exactly where he has put you. And you need to be okay with that. Buckle your pants and keep going, you know? And so there's so much, I think, of this that, is that like you don't have Jesus take the wheel is kind of a fun little thing that we like to think, but you need to drive, okay? Like you gotta put your hands on the steering wheel and go and do the thing biblically, meaning if it's your family, pour into your family, lead your family, do the right thing. If you're a wife and you have a husband that's lazy, that doesn't even want to come to church half the time, and you're the spiritual leader, pressure him. This is my permission for you to nag your husband, right? I mean, in the most loving way you can possibly do it, you know, but pressure him because that's what he's supposed to do. And so if you have, this is you, put your hands on the steering wheel and drive, because the reality is not that Jesus needs to take the wheel, but that he has the road conditions under control, that he's controlling the weather like he did in the Gospels, that he's aware of your tire situation or like he's got it all anyway. So that doesn't mean that you get to just hands off the situation. We need to act, and it begins with whoever's convicted by this in the first place.
I think that is a really, that speaks to all aspects. So whether you have a church, like, you know, what you were talking about as far as your example, or a church that you're like, I am literally the only person that seems to care. Like, regardless of where you're at on that spectrum, what you just said, I think is really important. Okay, fine. So do your thing then, like do what you're supposed to do. And I think that can, again, I think what you mentioned there was so important, because there's going to be times of like, we're like, wow, it's all working great. Everything's clicking. This is exactly what I'm supposed to do. And then there's other times where more often than not, where you're just like, this is dumb. Like, I don't think it's working. Doesn't seem to. So when you're just to go back to the family worship part, you're like, the kids aren't attentive, or when you're in, you know, the Titus 2 mentality, like, nobody seems to be taking any advice, or when you're in the church leadership position and you're just like, I can't even find one dude that's qualified to be an elder. And it's very easy to let those instances very much not only beat you up, but allow you to beat yourself up and be like, well, it's just not worth it then. And I think what you just said there was incredibly helpful. Okay, fine. But it's not like you're ever going to have the pristine conditions. God's still in control regardless, and he's still working in it. So do what you need to do and be faithful in it. And sometimes what that really looks like, just for real, I've talked to a lot of youth leaders that will look up to like these big youth ministries that have these enormous impacts, and they'll be like, I got 4 kids. Do well with the 4 kids you have then. Like, I can tell you all this ministry stuff that like we did and how the youth group grew and da 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 da. Who cares? If you have 4 kids, be faithful to those 4 kids. I mean, that's what you're supposed to do. And if it grows, it grows. And if it doesn't, it doesn't. But the point is, you're supposed to do what you're supposed to do and do it well. And so same thing with like, if you can't find one person to be an elder, well, just preach about eldership, live faithfully, and trust that God's going to take care of it. And it's not everything. Like, I think sometimes, especially when we talk about this, like, in our heads and in other people's heads, there's this idea that, well, you do this and then like a huge great explosion will happen and this thing will just work. And it's like, maybe that's not it. Maybe you're just supposed to be faithful with, you know, in this youth group example, 4 kids forever. And that's what you're supposed to do. And that doesn't feel like a win for some people. But the reality is you don't know what those four kids are going to do. I mean, Charles Spurgeon was, what, he got a chance because he just showed up at a church one time. I mean, and who knew that that's what was going to happen, right? He showed up at a church. The pastor wasn't there. Some layman preached. And through that layman, which nobody would have assumed anything was going to happen from, Charles Spurgeon hears the gospel. And so you, and then you have this whole like, and that guy probably didn't know till years later that sermon that he barely put together even did anything, but it did. And so you don't know what small part of an impact that you have in this picture. But the point is that regardless of it at home or at church or in a pastoral ministry, you be faithful and just let that be okay. Like mm-hmm. be okay with that. So,
yeah. Yeah. And there's a temptation. I know, you know, I bring up that bit about God being the one that, you know, like that's where you have to rest, that he's the one that has you where you are. Because there's a temptation that we all like there. I'm aware that there will be a temptation. Anyone who hears this, who is part of a church that's smaller and going through a difficult time or whatever, who hears this and is jealous or envious a little bit of the situation that I've been describing. And it's important that they know that, like, no matter the pretty situation, there's ugly. Like, there is difficulty. There are times when I go, man, this is like, I'm an idiot. This is not going well, you know. And I think it's funny you bring up Charles Spurgeon. Charles Spurgeon was by today's standards, he probably would have been diagnosed as bipolar.
Oh, yeah.
Like he was. He yeah. was so depressed, like so depressed, and at times like for no apparent reason. And at times the prince of preachers couldn't fill his own pulpit and preach. And so as glamorous as that looks and like all of the wow that comes with Charles Spurgeon, he was just a dude. He was just another guy who God gifted for sure. He put his hands on the steering wheel. That's really all it was. God gave him gifts and he just woke up in the morning and did what he was supposed to do for the day. And that's really bottom line. We live in a culture that lives, almost exclusively vicariously through, other people watching them on YouTube or TikTok or whatever. And you know, like, stop. So ministry wise, right? Like when we talk about family, leading families and ministry, transferring ministry or moving in ministry or growing in leadership or growing in discipleship, all of these things, right? When we think about those things, stop watching people bike race on YouTube and buy a bike, right? If I could say one thing, I think that would be it, because it starts with just doing it.
Yeah. And don't expect to be as good as them right away or maybe ever.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe I don't
because you want to,
I'm not,
because you know, you should.
I'm not under any illusions that someday people are going to be reading my sermons like they do Spurgeon. Right. Like, No, I don't think so. And that's okay.
I'd actually prefer them not. Yeah.
Yeah. They're probably going to find some stupid things that I said, you know, but I think, it is important to do it, to just like, maybe that's the only goal right now. Maybe that's where you're at, that like the yep. goal just has to be, you know what, I'm just going to do devotions with my family. It's going to be ugly. I mean, and if you're just starting to do it, it will be ugly. And I promise it's not going to be like, you know, a sitcom where the kids are sitting in the corner with their own Bibles open going, but Father, what about this word? Like, that's not how it works.
I was doing my own search in Greek and I found out that this word. Yeah, that's not happening.
Yeah, no, I like the success sometimes is just that you did it without punching something, you know, Like, honestly,
I didn't yell today. It was a win.
It's just as much about the faithfulness in just doing it as it is about the content. We talked about
I win without punching something. That's great.
We talk about learning by osmosis earlier in the discussion, and so even that you're doing family worship is you teaching them the importance of family worship, the importance of God, the priority of Christianity in their life, the priority of living out who God has made them. So regardless of any of the content or any of the theology or any of the scriptures that you're utilizing or any of that stuff, you're teaching them priorities and you're training them up in the way they should go. And so, I mean, it starts there.
Yeah. No, I think that's good. I think that rounds out the conversation really well. So this idea is that obviously you're going to, in some form or fashion, be passing or should be passing on the faith. So whether that be you have a family and you have kids, there's obviously ways, I mean, that you describe to do that. Obviously, that book you can go back that Rob mentioned and check that out if you're interested. And then if you don't have kids, Titus 2 doesn't really leave you off the hook. It very much says, hey, this is, you're still supposed to be passing this down. You're still supposed to be giving some sort of experience here to younger believers along the way somehow. And then even in a whole different sort of vein of that, like there are ways to bring up leaders within the church, whether that be in whatever ministry that looks like, there are ways to do that in a way that's going to give somebody whiplash and just like, here it all is, or in a way that's like very well done. And you just sort of pass it on along the way through example, answering questions and being there and all of that. And so regardless of what that looks like as a believer, there's a clear sort of imperative. You're supposed to pass something on. So it's really a matter of like, what is that in my life? What does that look like? How do I do that well? And I think this is the biggest point that we spend a lot of time on, but I think it's important. How do I do that faithfully, even when it doesn't feel like anything's happening? And then just doing that and being faithful in it. And I know in those moments, I'll end with this and then I'll let you sort of whatever last words you have to say, but I'll end with this. I think there's sometimes where you don't feel like anything's happening and you maybe will never know the impact you have. If you're lucky, maybe you'll hear about it later. And there's been a few instances. And when I say few, I mean less than a handful of kids that were in youth ministry in my youth ministry that I thought weren't listening at all. I would have put money down that they weren't paying attention. And so it was a matter of that intentionality of every week coming in and just telling them, hey, be quiet. We're looking at this. They couldn't tell you a single lesson I talked about, but they do remember the intentionality and the faithfulness that every Wednesday night we were here, we did that. And in some of their lives, I'll just be honest, some of their lives, that was simply me pushing a seed into the ground that somebody else got to do something with. I didn't get to do some great watering, and I didn't maybe get to see this, the plant coming out of the ground. It was just me pushing the seed down into the soil, be like, just stay there, and hearing about it later. And I think that's the biggest thing. Like, just know, just be faithful in whatever area you're in, and maybe you'll get lucky enough to see the plant. And if you're not, trust that God is good and He's going to do something with it. So.
Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 and 10 says this: after these things, I looked, and behold, a great multitude, which no one could count, from every nation and all tribes and peoples and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, and palm branches were in their hands, and they cry out with a loud voice, saying, salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb. That crowd happens because of what we're talking about. that crowd happens because from generation to generation to generation, be it families or in the church setting or in church leadership settings or whatever, people continue to pass the gospel of Jesus Christ on, and faithfully they do this. And that's, so we know that it does happen, that it will happen. And so I, the most important thing is to just put your hands on the wheel. Doesn't matter the kind of car it is, or the condition of the car at the moment, or even where the map is telling you to go right at the moment. It just matters that you're doing it. Pick up the Bible and train people. Pick up the Bible and be trained. And this is the end. This is what we all look forward to. And that crowd happens because people are doing it, are passing him along to the next generation.
Awesome. Well, guys, if you found this helpful, make sure you leave a like. If you disagree with us, which there's no way possible you can, but if you do, leave a comment in the comment section. If you found this
and leave a like.
Yeah, and leave a like too, yeah. please.
If you don't like this, give us a thumbs up.
Yes, that will really show us. If you hate this so bad that you leave a thumbs up, I don't know what I'll do. Don't do that, please. We'll talk to you next time. See ya. Bye. Hey guys, thank you for watching all the way through. Again, if you found this helpful, make sure you leave a like and share it with others. And if you've missed the other sections before, those again are available in the description below. We'll talk to you later.